From the KERA newsroom, I'm Justin Martin with the special report.
We are deeply saddened to learn that Mr. Thomas Eric Duncan has passed away.
Actually, I watch it through the TV, then I feel bad when I'm hearing his death.
It was a painful and difficult time for her. She reacted as almost anyone would, with great shock and despair.
This hurts deeply, and we were hoping this was not going to happen. But on behalf of the city of Dallas, I extend our deepest sympathies to the families, the friends of Mr. Duncan.
That's Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings, Pastor George Mason of Wheelshire Baptist Church, and DeWitt Testfi, a refugee from Eritrea who lives in the Vickery Meadow neighborhood. They're talking about Thomas Eric Duncan, who became the first person to die of Ebola on American soil today. He was 42 years old. Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, where he was diagnosed last week, says he died at 7:51 this morning. KERA's Lauren Silverman has a look back at Duncan's life.
11 days ago, Thomas Eric Duncan was rushed into Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital and put into isolation. Then, last Tuesday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed he had Ebola. He was the first patient to be diagnosed with the disease in the United States. Duncan had traveled to Dallas from Monrovia, the Liberian capital, to be with his girlfriend, Louise Tro, and their son. Tro and three others were put in quarantine almost a week ago because of their contact with Duncan. While Tro remained in isolation, discouraging news of Duncan's battle with Ebola trickled out from the hospital. The faith community stepped into high gear. On Sunday, Tro couldn't make it to Wilshire Baptist Church in East Dallas, where she was baptized in June. Senior Pastor George Mason asked worshipers to pray and show compassion.
The church is here to remind people that no matter how something has been contracted, an illness has been contracted, no matter how the circumstances unfold, this is a human drama, one that could involve any of us personally.
Mason was helping Tro to plan a wedding with Duncan, who he says goes by Eric.
This has been in the works for several months, that this was not an immediate decision of his to come to the States. He had been waiting for a visa, and it came through, but of course he became symptomatic before they could have that meeting and we could make a plan for the wedding.
Duncan and Tro had been separated for almost two decades. The New York Times reported from Liberia that the two met in the early 90s. It was in the midst of a brutal civil war that left 200,000 people dead and hundreds of thousands more refugees in neighboring countries, including Duncan and Tro. Family members in Liberia say the two started a relationship in a refugee encampment near a border town in the Ivory Coast. Tro's application to move to the U.S. was approved several years later, and she took the couple's three-year-old son, Karsaya Eric, to the U.S. Duncan's visa applications were denied. Now, Reverend Mason says the two were finally reconciling.
And so they were in a process of renewing their relationship and trying to make that happen here.
They were together a week, but their now 19-year-old son never got to see his dad. He spoke publicly for the first time on Tuesday night.
Be strong, even though it's hard being in the house for 21 days, not knowing what's going to happen after she get out and stuff. But yeah, I hope y'all keep praying that my family's okay and my dad make it out safely.
Their son said God was calling him to visit his dad. Hospital officials wouldn't let him visit his father's room at Presbyterian Dallas, where Duncan was on a ventilator and in critical condition. Duncan was healthy 3 weeks ago as he was preparing to leave Monrovia for the U.S. But days before his departure, he decided to help his landlords transport their pregnant daughter to a hospital, according to the New York Times. She was sick with Ebola and died hours later. Although Duncan was finally able to leave Liberia, the deadly disease followed him to Dallas. His body will be cremated so that his remains can be safely returned to his family. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
You can see a full timeline of Thomas Eric Duncan's time in Dallas at keranews.org. Reaction to the news of Duncan's death was swift and compassionate from local, state, and national leaders. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins and Pastor George Mason of Wheelshire Baptist drove to where the family's staying this morning. to break the news to Duncan's fiance and three children. Mason said Louise Tro, a member of his church, reacted with shock and despair. He said there's special concern for the three children who were living in the Vickery Meadow apartment where Duncan stayed.
As you might imagine, because of their being in quarantine and thus determined to have been exposed, their thoughts not only go to the shock and sadness of losing Mr. Duncan, but also whether this will be the course that their life will take next.
Mason will lead a memorial service tonight at 7:30 at Wilshire Baptist Church. 30 miles north in Frisco, Dallas County Sheriff's Deputy Michael Monig stopped into an urgent care center because he wasn't feeling well. Frisco Fire Chief Mark Pylon says Monig was identified as a deputy who was in the apartment where Duncan stayed. He made contact with others there, but not Duncan himself.
Public health officials are interviewing the patient as to other contacts in the event that this may turn out to be something else. But again, right now, they're treating this as a low-risk event.
Still, Monig was taken to Presbyterian Hospital to be tested for Ebola. Today, the news of Duncan's death rocketed through Vickery Meadow, where he'd been staying. KERA Stella Chavez checked in with some of the refugees who populate the neighborhood.
Inside Arif Cafe, a TV was tuned to CNN. Customers strolled in to eat lunch, a mix of traditional Ethiopian fare. Others, like 19-year-old Binky Ahmed, ordered food to go.
When I hear like Ebola, every night when I sleep, I say like, oh my God, Ebola, Ebola. I feel so worried. Then I hear the guys die.
Ahmed echoes the thoughts of many residents here.
I feel sorry for him.
Like many of her neighbors, the Somali native came as a refugee from a camp in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Some, like Dawit Tesfi of Eritrea, are fleeing war-ravaged countries. He's only been in Texas 10 months. He says he never imagined he'd end up moving to a place where Ebola leads the headlines daily.
No one is happy when we are listening to the medias, and the community is very scary. Very scary.
Outside the cafe, some regulars sat talking about the Ebola patient. Zelalam Dures, who's from Ethiopia, worried that proper hospital procedures weren't followed.
When the first day he arrived in the hospital, instead of, you know, sending him back home to his house, they should have checked, you know, other procedures just to check whether he got it from, you know, Ebola.
When he returned to Presbyterian Hospital the second time, Duress says Duncan should have immediately been given the experimental drug.
He's a human being at the end of the day. I know they were saying he's not a citizen of the United States or blah, 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 but that's not the question. He's a human being. He's sick. He needs help.
Others weren't as sympathetic. Store owner Blanca Chaban, who's originally from Ecuador, says the U.S. government needs to take more drastic measures. She said the U.S. government should suspend flights to and from Africa, and those who leave shouldn't be able to return. The one thing she and her neighbors agree on, they just want to feel safe. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
This has been a special report from the KERA Newsroom. I'm Justin Martin.